Chapter 1. Two Lives in the Arena. On the evening of August 18, 1788, two of the fiercest combatants in the great political debates of the Age of Revolutions sat down together for a meal. Although they had given voice to deeply opposing political ideas for well over a decade, they had not yet quite grasped the degree of their profound dispute, and their time together, by all accounts, was pleasant and amicable. "I am just going to dine with the Duke of Portland in company with the great American Paine," Edmund Burke had written to a friend earlier that day. From the part Mr. Burke took in the American Revolution, Thomas Paine would later write, "It was natural that I should consider him a friend to mankind, and our acquaintance commenced on that ground." Their acquaintance would end on very different ground, and their disagreement, which was soon to explode into the open around the French Revolution, would not only help to define the politics of their age, but would also reverberate through the centuries and around the globe. It is tempting now to think of those dinner companions that summer evening as embodiments of the ideas we have come to identify with them, and perhaps to wonder how they could have tolerated one another's company, given their differences. But human beings are more than the sum of their opinions, and before we can consider what Burke and Paine stood for, we must discover who they were and get a flavor of the age in which they lived. Doing both will help us understand how men with such deep differences could at first encounter one another as fellow travelers of a sort, if not indeed as kindred spirits. Burke and Paine were both unusual figures in an unusual time. Each was a man of humble origins who became a celebrated luminary. Each was an outsider who transformed himself, by force of intellect and personality, into the great champion of a society in which he was not born. Each was a firebrand and master of political rhetoric. It was known as much for the force of his arguments as for the power of his words. And in every sense, Burke and Paine were men of their time, even if they disagreed vehemently about what their era represented and where its politics were headed. In our political imagination, the late 18th century is often shrouded in an almost mystical aura. It was an age teeming with towering political figures who managed somehow to be simultaneously statesmen and philosophers. Among his close acquaintances and friends, Thomas Paine could count George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, and many other legends of the American founding generation. He thought of Benjamin Franklin as a kind of patron, and Franklin once described Paine as his adopted political son. Burke was well acquainted with Franklin, too, having gotten to know him during Franklin's time as the representative of the American colonies in London. And Burke counted among his friends such leading lights of the British intellectual world as the great writer and moralist Samuel Johnson, the historian Edward Gibbon, the philosopher and economist Adam Smith, and essentially every prominent parliamentary and political figure of the day, from King George III on down. This profusion of philosophical and practical genius did not emerge all at once by accident. It arose in response to the profound social and political flux of the age. Even a century after England's glorious revolution had re-established a stable Protestant monarchy in London, religious tensions continued to boil just below the surface throughout the Anglo-American world. And even before the American and French revolutions shattered the reigning order of Europe, it was clear to all that the challenge posed to the continent's political traditions by Enlightenment ideas about freedom and equality, combined with the challenge posed to its aristocratic economic arrangements by the gradual emergence of an industrial manufacturing system, would yield deep and lasting changes on both sides of the Atlantic. The nature and character of those changes were at the heart of the debate in which Burke and Paine would take leading parts. But neither man was